Prunella Scales is Sarah France in After Henry by Simon Brett, with Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Clara. Different viewpoints.
Many more would simply enjoy the charm.
All right, this is very aristocratic something, beaches.
Come in.
Real villains.
Oh, mother.
Vague apprehension, a few mistrust of people.
Ah, Bella, dear.
Man who brought the
I hope you don't mind my coming down, but. I've been up in my little room alone all day. I just thought I'd like to see a friendly human face. Or even yours, dear. All right, come and sit down. You can see a human face so long as you don't want to hear a human voice as well.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm tired out. I spent what seems like the last fortnight traipsing up and down the aisles of Sainsbury's, and the only thing that kept me going was the thought that when I got home, I could just slump in front of the television.
Oh.
Which, as you see, is what I'm doing.
Yes, slump being the operative word. You know, I always think that it's rather a pity that people treat the television as if it
were... Mother!
Well, I mean, just the idea that you can have continuous entertainment without making the slightest effort. Treats should be rationed, you know.
Very little television these days comes under the heading of treats, Mother.
No, but I think television is responsible for a lot of the slovenliness in modern life. It encourages laziness. I mean, it's fine as a medium of education, but so many people nowadays just loll in front of the thing, even during the daytime. Still, I think you know my views on that subject.
Well, then I know your views on every subject, because you insist on repeating them to me 20 times a day.
Oh.
Listen, you are very welcome to sit and watch television with me, as long as you're not expecting anything in the way of polite conversation.
Hmm? Oh, no, I'm not. Not from you, dear. I've long since given up hopes of that.
Mother.
Very well, dear.
Let's just sit quietly and watch the television, shall we?
Yes, Sarah. Of course, Sarah. Vera Poling's got that jumper.
What?
That jumper that the adulteress has got on.
We don't know she's an adulteress.
Oh, come on, Sarah. Why is she driving out to the motel? I wasn't born yesterday, you know.
Now, I know. Could we just watch it, please?
Yes, of course. It looks better on her than it does on Vera.
What?
The jumper.
Mother!
Vera's complexion never could take that colour. Mind you, come to think of it, there aren't many colours Vera's complexion can take. I often wonder whether it wouldn't really be the charitable thing for me to have a gentle word with her about it. Tell her to stick to blacks and whites and greys. Vera really is essentially a monochrome person. And if I told her so, well, she might feel a little hurt initially, but it would really only be being cruel to be kind. Oh. Sorry. Mind you, I can't imagine Vera committing adultery.
What?
Even though she has got the same taste in jumpers.
Mother!
Yes, yes. Sorry, dear. Vera Poling got hers down at that place off the High Street.
Hmm?
That little boutique. Country Girl, I think it's called. Do you know the one?
Yes.
Where you got that pale blue shirt waister.
It is not a shirt waister, Mother.
Oh, it is.
Shirt waisters don't exist nowadays.
Well, it looks like a shirt.
Yeah, it may look like a shirt waister, but it isn't called a shirt waister.
Hmm, well, it's the same difference. Anyway, you know the boutique, I mean.
Yes, Mother, I do. It's not really a boutique.
No, it is.
It's not called a boutique.
No, but it is a boutique.
If you say so, Mother.
Well, that'll be good for the woman who runs the boutique, won't it? Went what? Having a jumper she stocks on the television. Be good for business.
Yes, Mother, adulteresses for miles around will be flooding into her shop to buy jumpers for their next naughty assignation at the local motel.
There's no need to be coarse, Sarah, dear.
Well,
anyway, there aren't any motels round here.
Oh?
Not what you'd call proper motels. Not motels for adultery, but... Not where one can ensure complete secrecy.
Mother, there is nowhere within 100 miles of you where one can ensure complete secrecy.
Mind you, that George and Dragon Hotel in Stipton has a bit of a reputation for that sort of thing.
What sort of thing?
Assignations.
Really?
Yes.
How do you know?
Oh, one hears things.
You hear things. Nobody else does.
Anyway, it's got quite a reputation. a lot of afternoon bookings.
Really?
Oh, yes. Charging by the hour.
Charging by the hour? In Tipton? I'd be surprised if that was true.
You'd be surprised.
I've just said I'd be surprised.
Well, you would be.
All right, I would be. If you say I would, I would. I'll agree to anything you say so long as you'll just let me watch the television in peace.
Well, I'm not stopping you, dear.
I've lost the thread now.
Well, you must concentrate, dear. Anyway, it's perfectly clear what's happened. The adulteress has just come out of the motel.
So?
Well, it's obvious.
What is?
Well, she's just had another...
Another what?
Another... assignation.
Huh? Might not be that.
Of course it is. Don't be naive, dear.
Can I just watch it, please, and form my own conclusions?
Of course, dear. Goodness, Wallace, Merton used to wear socks just like that.
Mama! It is absolutely hopeless.
Oh, why did you switch it off, dear? I was enjoying that.
I think it's a generation thing, sir.
What do you mean?
Your mother's attitude to television. She didn't grow up with it, you see. For her, it's still a sort of intruder in the house. Well, not perhaps not an intruder, but a guest. And of course, there are certain rules which have to be obeyed in one's treatment of guests.
Oh, Russell, you don't have to tell me that. Goodness, having been brought up by my mother, I know all about how to behave when guests are present. Her basic principle always was, and still is, that you should not show any signs of what you are really like when guests are present. Subdue your own personality completely. The uncracked surface of family gentility must be maintained at all costs. I mean, about a third of our ground floor at home, the sitting room, was a complete no-go area until we had guests. And then when some did arrive, I was expected to behave as if I spent every evening of my life there.
And be all relaxed.
Well, hardly. Relaxation didn't really figure in Mother's scheme of entertainment. I wasn't allowed to sit on the sofa, for a start.
Why not?
Like dental cushions.
And, of course, with guests, I suppose you had to make conversation.
Yes, always make. Never let conversation flow. The idea that conversation between her daughter and a guest could contain any element of spontaneity was complete anathema to Mother.
So, reverting to my original point, if the television is a guest in the house, it's rude to exclude it from the conversation. If the television says something, then, by your mother's principles, one would be impolite not to respond to it.
Do you think that's really the reason why she feels obliged to comment on everything?
Well, I think it's a bit of that, isn't it?
Oh, you could be right. I'd always assumed that Mother was just continuing her normal practice of commenting on everything anyone did or said. Yet another symptom of her inoperable nosiness.
Oh, yes, that too. But remember, the rules of behaviour she was brought up with didn't make any provision for television, so she had to adjust what she'd learned to accommodate the new phenomenon.
Yes, I never thought of it like that. Certainly our first television set was accorded a surprising degree of deference.
When did you get it?
Oh, when do you think? For the coronation, like everyone else.
Oh, of course.
Little bulbous-fronted number with a purplish anti-glare screen over it, cunningly disguised inside a mock Georgian tallboy. It was nice to have that screen staring at one out of the corner of the room.
And I bet you had the curtains drawn when you watched it.
Certainly did.
And you had the Radio Times in a hand-tooled leather folder.
Yes. Oh, and I'm blushed to think of it. Mother made me wear my best party frock to watch the coronation.
And she made you stand up for the national anthem.
Of course.
I bet you even had a little Union Jack to wave.
How do you know all this, Russell?
Oh, I know, Eleanor.
Yes, and we watched all the crowds waving their Union Jacks, the good old British colours of grey, white and grey.
I bet your viewing thereafter was strictly rationed.
Oh, certainly. Though, of course, the word viewing was not allowed to pass my lips. It's distinctly common. No. I was allowed to watch nothing except children's programmes for a start.
Oh, I think not. What about ITV?
My mother refused to admit its existence. She thought it was for people who went out in the street in their curlers or ate fish and chips out of the newspaper or put the milk bottle on the table or lived in the north, you know, sort of thing.
Her snobbery hasn't changed much, has it?
No. I can't really think of anything about my mother that has ever changed. It's all just gotten more so.
And you still carry with you these great moral overtones about television watching?
Oh, yes. Wicked to watch it before 7 o'clock in the evening.
Unless you're ill.
Mm. Well, no, you mustn't watch it when you're actually ill. It might overstimulate you. During convalescence, a little light television watching might be permissible.
Oh, dear. And all these sort of deep-rooted values are still with you.
Oh, yes. Yes, you know, it might be possible to criticise some of my mother's ideas on the upbringing of children, but at least no one could ever fault her on how thoroughly she developed my sense of guilt.
Do you think you've done the same thing to Clara?
Oh, I'm sure. By so positively avoiding the things Mother did to me, I've obviously done other things quite as bad to Claire. Being a parent is a no-win situation. And I don't think Claire's got any hang-ups about watching television. For her generation, it's just another resource. Boring, but there to fill in the gaps between interesting things happening.
Does she watch much?
More so recently. Not going out so often since Julian's been on the scene.
Oh, still going steady, are they?
Steady to the point of total immobility.
Presumably they don't feel any moral imperative to make conversation while the television's on.
Nope. No, they certainly don't.
And yet for all of them, the problem is how to tell
them. Oh, Claire. I hope you don't mind my dropping in. Just thought I'd see how you were. Oh. Hello, Julian. I didn't see you there. Watching the television, are you?
Hmm.
Oh, it's that thing about the creatures who live in the desert, isn't it? Goodness, he's not a very pretty customer, is he? Oh, dear, what a face. Wouldn't like to meet him on a dark night, would you?
Hmm.
I wonder how they get shots like that, you know. I mean, it's not as if they can ask the snake to eat the rat again, is it? Sorry, we hadn't got our camera switched on that time. Could we try again, please? No, well, they couldn't do that, could they? Oh, no, what are those two little fellows up to? Seem to be having a bit of a fight. Oh, dear. Now, I don't think they should really show that. I mean, it may be all very well for actual students of the... But at this time of the evening, there might be children watching. Now, I'm not an out-and-out supporter of Mary Whitehouse, but there are times when I think she has a point.
This snake has found a most original way around it.
It seems to me too many of these natural history films are just excuses to show animals doing things on television that human beings would never be allowed to do.
Provide facts for its young who are born.
And I'm afraid that nice David Attenborough can't be completely absolved from blame for that state of affairs.
The problem of
can he? I'm sure one saw less of animals doing that sort of thing before that series of his. What was it called? The Living Earth. Was that it?
And also the reflective quality.
Well, glad to see you're all right, Claire. I suppose I'd better be off.
Are of course much lower than
in yes, well, goodbye, Julian. See you tomorrow, Claire.
And
goodbye then, Claire.
Hello, Claire, love. I just got in.
Yes, I heard you. That's why I came up.
Oh, had a good day.
Yes, fine. Day of leave, wasn't it?
Mm. Come to have a drink. I feel in need of one.
Oh, thanks.
Got some white wine open, that do?
Great.
So, what did you do with your day?
Oh, not a lot. Just using the leave up. I've still got a few days from last year.
Do you live around?
No, he went to see someone about some work.
What, you mean a job?
No, not a job.
Oh.
Just work. He saw an ad in Private Eye. Someone's trying to get a musical together.
Ah. Here you are. Cheers. He's still keen on the songwriting then, is he?
Oh, yes.
And still... Not actually written any songs, huh?
No. Well, not many. Not complete songs. I mean, he's written some tunes and he's written some lyrics, but...
Well, how do you mean? The tunes don't fit the lyrics? The lyrics don't fit the tunes?
No.
Oh.
Well, they're not meant to. The tunes are for songs he hasn't written lyrics for, and the lyrics are for songs he hasn't written tunes for.
Ah.
He's really looking for the right person to work with before he gets properly started.
Mm.
Like most songwriters, you know. Gilbert and Sullivan, or Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Yes. Does Julian see himself more as Gilbert or as Sullivan?
Well, he's not sure yet. It really depends on who he finds to work with. He's so versatile.
Hmm. Gosh, this will be the first day you haven't seen him for weeks.
No, it won't. I'm meeting up at a party tonight.
Oh. So what did you do with your day?
Not a lot. Watch the telly.
During the day?
Yes. Well, you don't disapprove, do you?
Well, me? Oh, no. Heavens, no. What do you watch during the day?
Well, you know, rubbish. Lousy old movies. Pamela Armstrong. Australian soap.
Oh. But surely the soaps don't mean anything if you haven't been following the story.
Yes, they do. All soaps are designed so that you can pick them up at any point. If there's anything I don't understand, I ask Granny.
You do what?
I ask Granny. She always knows.
She always knows about soaps?
Yes.
Look, I know she watches EastEnders because, as she always says, it's important to understand how common people think. But how could she possibly know about daytime soaps?
She does. Neighbours, Young Doctors, Sons and Daughters, the Sullivans, she knows all of them.
Claire, are you saying that Granny watches the television during the day?
Yes, of course she does.
But she always swears to me that she doesn't.
That sounds in character.
But I'm struck dumb.
Oh, good. In that case, I can ask you. May I borrow your black cardigan?
My black cardigan?
Yes, for this party tonight.
I'm sorry, this is too much for me. Too many shocks, too close together. First I discover that my mother actually watches television before 7 o'clock in the evening, and now my daughter, in spite of all the offensive things she has always said about my wardrobe, is actually asking to borrow one of my garments.
Yes.
Well, I suppose I'm flattered, really. Goodness, to think I possess something that would not disgrace the trendy girlfriend of a non-practicing songwriter. That old black cardigan of mine, well, well. Do you know, that makes me feel really good.
Yes. Well, all that dowdy stuff's coming back in.
Oh, is it? Thank you, Claire.
Where's it gone? I saw it down at the vicar's. I took it round and he wasn't there. Next time I went round, he wasn't there either.
Yeah. Come in, dear. Come in.
Mother.
Good evening, Sarah, dear.
I've been knocking for ages. Didn't you hear me?
Well, you know my hearing's not as good as it was, Sarah.
It sounded to me as if you just got the television on too loud. Isn't that dreadful sitcom about the married couple?
Sarah, dear, you know I only very occasionally take a look at a situation comedy. Just to keep in touch with the sort of thing that the masses apparently find amusing.
So what are you watching?
It's a discussion about the feminist implications of ritual mutilation in Central Africa.
Oh, quite fascinating.
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, don't let me stop you.
Oh, good heavens, no, Sarah. No, no, no. No. However fascinating a television program, it must never be allowed to take precedence over the demands of conversation.
No, of course not.
I think it's so ill-mannered when people let that machine dominate their lives.
Yes, of course.
Lively conversation is always so much more stimulating than anything the television can produce.
Yes.
Nothing as stimulating as a lively conversation, is there?
Hmm.
Oh, no. They do say the art of conversation is making a comeback.
Do they? Who does?
Oh, I heard something where they were discussing it.
What was it?
I can't remember. I think the television must have been on last night, and I must have caught a snatch of something.
What were you watching?
I wasn't watching anything, dear. The television just happened to be on.
What do you mean it just happened to be on?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Mother, televisions don't switch themselves on, do they?
No, I suppose not.
So what you mean is that you switched it on?
Oh, well, yes, I suppose. Perhaps I did. Maybe. But I wasn't really watching it.
No.
I'm not a slave to the thing.
No, no, of course not.
I mean, occasionally there are programs of educational value which one does feel a duty to watch.
Yes, things like Panorama.
Yes.
Or films of that nice David Attenborough.
Yes.
Or Neighbours.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Saturday, I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
What annoys me, Russell, is not the question of whether my mother watches daytime television or not. I don't care whether she watches daytime television or not. In fact, it's probably a good thing if she does. It at least limits the amount of time she can spend snooping round my part of the house and spreading malicious rumours about me amongst her friends. But what does annoy me is that she pretends she doesn't watch daytime television.
Still?
Yes, she's just so obstinate. She still maintains all these lofty opinions that television is a medium of education, that its serious content is the only bit that interests her. While I know full well that she spends all her evenings watching fatuous sitcoms and all her days watching Australian soaps.
Well, I can understand that you aren't around to check on her during the day, but surely you can monitor what she's watching in the evenings.
Not really. She has this habit of appearing in my sitting room when there's something rubbishy on that she thinks I'm likely to be watching.
Which she actually wants to watch herself.
Oh, yes. Mm. But all the time behaving as if I'm the one who is imposing on her this insult to her intelligence. And also making me feel guilty that I'm watching fatuous television instead of making scintillating conversation.
You can't help admiring her technique.
Huh. And if I go up to her flat in the evening, as soon as she hears my knock, she either switches off what she's watching or switches over to something worthy.
Well, then obviously the answer is to go in without knocking.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. I have spent so long trying to din into her that she must always knock before coming into my part of the house that breaking the rule myself would just give her too much ammunition.
Mm. So in her own flat, either you see her watching worthy television or no television at all.
Yes, but she records the rubbish to watch later.
What?
Well, if I go up to her room during some particularly dreadful sitcom, when I'm admitted, the television is off, but the little light on the video recorder is flashing away.
Well, surely if you challenge her with that, she can't deny it.
Look, you know, Mother, I say, oh, what are you recording? And she says, oh, dear, have I left that machine on again? I keep getting it wrong. I'm afraid I do get so confused with all those buttons to press.
Oh, what nonsense. She can't believe you'd fall for that.
No, of course I don't, and she knows I don't, but she still maintains the pretense. That's the thing that infuriates me. That's the thing that's always infuriated me about my mother.
Amongst other things?
Yes. The fact that she always feels the need to maintain pretenses. Never be natural. Always be presenting some kind of image, even with the family. Living with her is like taking part in some enormously elaborate and enormously irritating square dance.
In which Eleanor is the caller.
Oh, yes, she's the caller, all right. Everyone dozy-doze at her command. But what makes me really mad is that the effect all this has on me is to take me right down to her level of pettiness.
Even to the point of you being prepared to go to any lengths to catch her in flagrante soap operato.
Yes.
Hmm.
Pathetic, isn't it? A grown woman desperate to catch her mother watching an Australian soap.
I vaguely thought of opening the shop a bit later than usual tomorrow morning.
What? Oh. No, Russell. No, it'd just be sinking to her level.
Hmm. Yes, it would, of course. On the other hand, it would be quite satisfying, wouldn't it?
No, Russell. Couldn't.
Oh, Sarah, I think you probably could.
Everybody needs good neighbors. Just a friendly wave each morning helps to make a better day.
Now, gee, Shane, all I said was that if Nicky and Clark...
Well, here it is, Mummy, cultural experience of a lifetime.
And this really happens every day, twice a day.
Twice a day?
Good heavens, there's a whole world one knows nothing about by going out to work.
True. Anyway, this is the perfect intellectual level for someone with a cold as heavy as mine.
Yes, you poor old thing, how is it?
Very heavy.
Ah. You could, you know, be nursing your cold down in your own flat.
Yes, I could. Your sofa's much more comfortable. And anyway, since you're around...
What? Oh, I see. You reckon I can be going back and forth with the hot lemon drinks and grapes all the time?
Exactly.
Honestly, Claire, the minute you get the slightest bit of colour, your age is instantly halved.
I know. Lovely, isn't it?
Anyway, I'm afraid I won't be here long this morning for the Florence Nightingale routine. I've got to get to work.
Yes, why have you stayed at home this morning?
Well... how was your party the other night, by the way?
Fine.
Was my black cardigan appreciated?
Oh, yes. Julian said I looked really antique.
Oh, did he? Should I be flattered?
Not sure. Probably not, I would think.
Oh.
Well, are you still at home anyway, Mummy? Is it something to do with Granny?
What makes you say that?
Well, it usually is. Especially when you have that mean look in your eye.
Hmm. Well, yes.
What?
Oh, it's so stupid. Look, you know you said Granny always watches daytime television.
Yeah, sure, she does.
Well, she keeps insisting to me that she doesn't. And I'm getting so sick of it that I just want to catch her once watching something during the day and then, you know, well, maybe it'll shut up for a bit.
I see. Well, I won't make any remarks about pettiness or anything.
No, don't. But look, this Neighbours programme, is this the sort of thing she'd be watching?
guarantee it. Never misses an episode.
Right. And there's nothing else you might be watching on one of the other channels. Nothing worthy.
CFATS or BBC Two. Test Card on Channel 4. And on ITV... Children's Cartoon. Don't call any of that worthy, would you?
Nope.
So what are you going to do?
I am going to go up to Granny's flat, and if I hear that the television's on, I'm going to go in.
Without knocking?
Without knocking. And I'm going to catch her at it. And I'm actually going to have the pleasure of seeing your grandmother embarrassed for once.
Oh, gracious, Sarah, what on earth are you doing here at this time of day?
I thought I'd just come and see you, Mother.
Oh, but I thought you'd agreed to respect the custom of at least knocking.
Except in this case, you see, I just wanted to prove, Mother, for my own satisfaction, that you do watch television during the daytime.
Ah,
which, since your television is currently on, I think I have proved.
So, my little secret is out.
Yes, it is. Your little secret habit of watching Neighbours.
Neighbours? What's that?
I beg your pardon?
What is Neighbours?
Just don't bother, Mother. I mean, I know there's nothing else on at the moment except for a cartoon.
Oh, and I'm watching a recording. What?
What of?
Well, I set the machine to record this morning's programme. They do put them on so early.
But what on?
The Open University.
What is this you're watching?
It's geology, interpreting sedimentary layers.
What?
Part of my course.
Course?
Yes. Open University course. Television is such a wonderful medium of education, you know. But that's my secret, you see. I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I could get through the whole course without Sarah knowing and then just present her with my degree certificate? But now, dear, you spoiled the surprise.
I don't believe you, Mother.
Oh?
You've set all this up. You're not doing an Open University course any more than I am.
Oh, yes, I am.
You prove you are.
You prove I'm not, dear.
Somehow you knew I was going to be around this morning and you planned all this. If I came in any other morning, I'd find you watching Neighbours.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sarah, dear.
Huh. I must get off to work.
Yes, I think you'd better, dear. You're very late already.
Yes, I am.
Oh, just one thing, Sarah.
Yes?
In future, I would appreciate it if you knocked before coming into my part of the house. I mean, our relationship can only work if we respect each other's privacy, you know.
Yes, Mother. I'll see you this evening, Mother.
Yes. Good day, Sarah.
In Different Viewpoints, you heard Prunella Scales as Sarah, Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, Jerry Cowper as Claire, and Simon Brett as the television. After Henry was written by Simon Brett and produced by Pete Atkins.